9. Unspoken. Even from a safer distance, Vulcan and Abudemi find it hard to tear their horrified fascination away from the sight of Malkador's eerie immolation. But they turn. 3 of Malkador's chosen are advancing along the nave, accompanied by a Sister of Silence and several other officials.
Watch him,
Vulcan says to Abudemi, nodding towards the throne.
If he stirs at all.
I will, my lord.
Vulcan leaves his son at vigil and walks down the nave to meet the approaching figures. He has no intention of straying far from the throne. If Malkador perishes in his courageous efforts, or the hated enemy breaks in to take the inner sanctum, he has a duty to perform. The Talisman of 7 Hammers, a protocol retrofitted into the Golden Throne, can only be activated by Vulcan's command. Once initiated, it will destroy the throne and the sanctum and all the treasures of the palace entirely. Vulcan, the maker, the shaper, the demiurge craftsman, will be the unmaker of all that the Emperor has built, splitting the palace and the world open before Horus can plunder it. If anyone claims the throne back from Malkador, it will be Vulcan's father on his return. No one else. Horus will never get the chance. The 3 chosen are named Khalid Hassan, Moriana Muhorzin, and Zaranchek Xanthus. They bear the sigil of the regent on their cheeks. Vulcan doesn't know them well, but he trusts them because Malkador trusted them. They bow to him. All look pale with grief. With them are Kyria Kazrin of the Sisterhood and Irek Halferfis, Astrotelegraphica Exalter of the Higher Tower, along with several seniors of the Consilium.
My Lord Primarch, says Hassan, we bear confidential communication from Hegemon Control.
He hands a data slate to Vulcan. Vulcan reads it.
When was this received?
He asks.
Not long ago, says Hassan. Mere moments, in fact. After Anabasis assault deployed.
So, another few minutes.
Another few minutes, and the operation might have been suspended, says Hassan. Fate is cruel.
I think fate is very deliberate,
Vulcan replies.
We received this just seconds after my father finally committed, and there was no going back. That's not an unkind coincidence, Chosen One.
You think the timing is deliberate?
Asks Mohausen.
I imagine the traitor fleet has been blocking all manner of signals,
Vulcan replies.
They've jammed most of our comm operations. For this to get through, at that moment of all moments, that's malicious gamesmanship. That's Lupercal deliberately letting hope come too late. His intent is to psychologically ruin us.
But you believe it to be genuine?
Vulcan looks back at the slate and rereads the transcript of Gilliman's transmission.
I think it is. We'd easily identify a falsified signal. The codes are right. No, I think it's authentic, because only an authentic message would be cruel enough.
Then the tragedy is they can't find us, says Xanthus. The Savior fleet, however close, is blind to us.
Vulcan nods.
And we can supply them with no beacon, he remarks.
He looks at Halferfis.
The Astronomicon is non-functional,
he asks, knowing the answer, but hoping to be surprised.
My lord, replies the Exalter, we don't even know if the mountain still stands. Bombardment has probably raised it. And, if it exists, we cannot perform a remote ignition. The infrastructure is too badly damaged, and the power conduits destroyed. Even if we had power to spare.
Then this hope is no hope,
says Vulcan, handing back the slate.
My lord, says Hassan, Exalter Halferfis has proposed that we might activate a temporary beacon here.
Here?
It would be makeshift, says Halferfis. And there are inherent technical problems, but by channeling etheric power from the throat...
No, says Vulcan simply.
Psycho-able reinforcements are already being assembled, Kazrin relays in Thoughtmark. The first are arriving now to supplement Sigil protocol.
You mean to strengthen the Sigilite if his power ebbs? Asks Vulcan.
Yes, and more, if necessary. The unspoken sanction.
Is a crime, says Vulcan. We will support the Sigilite. We're not going to burn through...
It's been done once. It can be done again, says Hassan. And we are all dying, my lord. The world is dying. Candidates would give their lives willingly to bring the unspoken sanction into effect if it buys us more time.
If the reinforcements are gathering already in preparation, we could use their power to fire an emergency beacon, employing the throne mechanisms and the choral systems of the throne room, Kasrin signs. The Adnecto Concilium assures us it is feasible, and the Exalter can oversee...
Have you found enough of them, then? Asks Vulcan. Enough psycho volunteers?
Volunteers is a misleading term, my lord, says Xanthus.
Indeed it is, says Vulcan. And it was my understanding that there was a dearth of alpha-rated psychers in the palace. Prior to the siege, too many had been shipped out on the instruction of your master, the Sigilite, in order to engineer the concealment of Titan.
This is true, Hassan concedes. A significant portion of the palace reserves were removed. They have not been replenished due to the situation. We are limited.
And you'd expend those we have to light a fire that we hope someone will see, rather than keep them ready to support Malkador's efforts.
No one responds.
I won't entertain this, says Vulcan. Not yet, at least.
My lord, Hassan begins. Vulcan looks at him sharply enough for the Chosen to flinch.
There are other possibilities to explore first, Vulcan says. Listen to me, all of you. I have longed for Abute and the others to arrive with all my heart. I can think of nothing more glorious than my brothers descending in fury to end this atrocity and grind Horus under their heels. I yearn for it just as you do, and I feel the pain of that belated transmission. But we are committed now, and more precariously balanced than ever. My father has taken the fight to Horus. He must prevail. Malkador, your master, has taken the throne to maintain stability. He must prevail. Our duty, my friends, is to support them both in every way we can, so they emerge victorious. An attempt to establish a rudimentary beacon here will jeopardize the function of the throne and the life of the Sigilite, and will expend our precious resources far too rapidly. And for what? The remote hope someone will see? It is a remote hope indeed. An empty promise. We will continue as we are. Kazrin, have them bring in the first of the psycho-able to act as a choir of support. Just support. Burn them out, and you'll answer to me. We must help the Sigilite maintain his focus. As for my father, we will wait another hour, then reevaluate if we have not heard from him.
The clocks are broken, my lord, says Hassan.
Then count on your fingers, chosen one, says Vulcan.
They nod.
Go, says Vulcan.
As they turn, he calls Hassan's name and draws him aside. The others stride away down the nave.
Your master left you without warning, Vulcan says.
He did, sir.
And you were all bonded to him, I know. The loss must be very great. I can see it in you.
Hassan nods. There was no time for farewell. And he will not return to us as he was, if at all.
Tell me, Hassan. Is it possible he is trying to communicate with us?
My master?
Yes.
Hassan glances towards the distant throne.
What makes you ask?
A feeling, Hassan. I watch him, and I feel he's trying to speak.
To you?
To anyone who will hear. I thought perhaps you or...
Hassan shakes his head. The idea has upset him.
My master knew that once he had consigned himself to the throne, his focus would be absolute, my lord. Before he took his place, he dumped masses of sigilized information into each of us. It was a shattering experience. He conveyed, urgently and without his usual finesse, all of his thoughts and plans, and every last symbol of intention and unfinished deed, in the hope that we would enact them now that he could not. We are all still trying to make sense of his bequest.
Like a living will.
Hassan nods.
In a way, lord. My point is, he did that because he knew he would not get a chance to speak later. So for that reason, I doubt your idea is any more than fancy.
Vulcan takes him by the arm, a huge hand on a tiny mortal limb, and leads him closer to the throne, where Abidemi is standing watch. They feel at once the rising heat on their faces.
His mouth still twitches, my lord, Abidemi says. You see, Vulcan says to Hassan. Hassan, he must have knowledge in him now, beyond any wisdom he possessed before. Untold measures of it. I think he is desperate to communicate it to us, or impart some sign. I believe he's trying to convey vital secrets that we should know. Things that could win this war for us.
I see his lips move, says Hassan very quietly. I see he suffers a great deal. But I think it is involuntary. Just a tick. A nerve spasm.
I think he's trying to talk, says Vulcan. I'm sure of it.
Well, not to my mind or my ears, lord, says Hassan. If my master is talking, then it's not to me, or to any of the chosen.
If Malkador is talking, Hassan, asks Vulcan, who is he talking to?